Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Class. I am so excited to have my first guest of the year today, Lisa Robb, with me. I'm Christy Bemis, author, speaker, psychotherapist, and Ignite Your Life coach. And these classes are on a variety of topics to support you to living as authentic as you possibly can in life. And I invite you to find me on the web at www.hotpinkyou.com. Or you can also find me on Facebook at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. There's always ways that you can be inspired to reignite your life with passion, purpose, and play. And today is all about play, I feel like, and also passion, as I have my special guest today, Lisa Robb, and we are going to be talking about more than just running, but how to use running as a fulfillment to living life on your terms. Right? And when you focus on any kind of goal that you have in mind, and this is a goal of running a half marathon or a full marathon or even just a 5K or 10K, which many of us love to challenge ourselves to do, it's more than just finding our endurance and strength. It's actually, Lisa's going to talk to us about how it supports us to bust through any kind of perfectionism and any kind of barriers that you need to bust through to live a more fulfilling life. And I can attest to it because I am actually one of Lisa Robb's 12-minute turtles, which she's going to talk to us about what that is and what that concept is. So if you are here because you desire to run any kind of length, 5K to full-on marathon, you're in the right place. But also you're in the right place if there's any goal that you desire to bust through your perfectionism and just move further into action. So welcome, Lisa. I'm so excited to have you here today with us.
Oh, Christy, I am so excited to be here with you. This is such a fun topic, and I'm so excited to share because this was something that really changed my life. And for people that think it's just about running, it seems like it at first glance, but it really is about so much more. So I'm really excited to dive in with you today.
I am too. And it's been too long. When we finally reconnected this last year, you are just a bright light in life. And if anybody's around you, they understand this, that you are just filled with usually a ton of laughter, a ton of passion, and you just light up a room. And so I want to tell everybody who's listening a little bit about you that you're a certified professional life coach for women, and you've also been running and the CEO of Raining Glitter Coaching, which you're going to talk a little bit about today. And you really specialize in helping women who struggle with perfectionism. I can totally relate to this topic. I feel like I'm a reformed perfectionist in life, and so I'm doing my best to not be perfect and to move through life a little bit more imperfectly.
Yeah, yeah, I really love that. I think that there are so many women that struggle and wrestle with perfectionism, and when we can learn some tools for learning to accept ourselves and learning to accept ourselves as perfectly imperfect, and that's really a good mm-hmm. thing and is just a really empowering place to live from.
It really is, because we put a lot of tension and like pressure on ourselves. And so I'm hoping we can dive in a little bit with that. I really want to focus the start of our show, though, on you just became a certified running coach. And I know just in the one brief coaching session I had with you in December, I learned a ton that has really moved me from that first run in December where I'm running with my partner and I'm like, I just cannot catch my breath. I can't even go a mile. Like, I mm-hmm. don't, what did I just get myself into? I'm going to do a half marathon, really, in like 7 months? I don't think so. to now getting to a point where I'm at 3 miles just in a month of like kind of making this commitment. So I really want to talk a little bit about what is the 12-Minute Turtles, and it's a super passion of yours. I know that because the reason that I signed up to do the 12-Minute Turtles and to do the June half marathon in Montana was because of your passion that night when we were going to the Overture Center and we were sitting and having drinks prior to with some friends, and your passion lit me up. And when my body's lit up, I'm a big yes. Like, it's a
yes. So I love that. I love that you are so aware and able to listen to your body and able to call it what it is, which is a hell yes. I love that. So the 12-Minute Turtles is a passion project of mine because, like I had mentioned a little bit earlier, running is something that really, truly changed my life. So I started running in 2005. Before that, I was not a runner. I had run a 5K one time only because I was a student teacher and the Phi Ed department put on a 5K. And when you're a student teacher, you do everything, every activity that the school does. And that was my intro to running. And I actually really enjoyed the social experience of the 5K. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was challenging. But it wasn't until long after that, I had gotten a job. I was a kindergarten teacher, and one evening I wandered into an information night for Team in Training. And Team in Training is part of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And I quickly found out that as a member of Team in Training, you volunteer to raise money and awareness of blood-related cancers, and then in exchange, they coach you and teach you how to run a marathon. Well, I had never ran further than 3 miles in my life, and I did not know anyone that had leukemia, and I signed up on the spot to run my first marathon, 26.2 miles, in Anchorage, Alaska, with Team in Training. And kind of fast forward through that, when I crossed that first finish line in Anchorage, Alaska, I can honestly say I was a new woman. I was completely transformed. And so my husband used to joke, don't talk to Lisa. She'll try to convince you to run a marathon. And it's true. I would, because I wanted that experience for everyone of feeling like, you know, at a cellular level that you can do hard things. Now, here's the thing about running and marathon running. Without knowing me, you might think that I like won the marathon. Like I was transformed because I couldn't believe I was so good at this thing and I just like won it. Like, but that was not the case. Like I am a back of the pack runner. I am pretty slow. And for me, it had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with speed. But yet I had this kind of gremlin, this demon on my shoulder that would worry about how fast I was. And I really realized that I have a passion for breaking that limiting belief for people that it doesn't matter how fast you go. It's really and truly about putting one foot in front of the other. And when we lower the bar for ourselves of just being okay with one foot in front of the other, instead of like, I'm in it to win it. And there is nothing wrong. If you are a fast runner, I am not mad at you. But it's about putting one foot in front of the other, not how fast or slow you can go. And so the 12-Minute Turtles is really a running group for back-of-the-pack runners. Often it's people that are doing their very first half or full marathon and really want that support and encouragement along the way.
I love that. Yeah. And I know I got an Apple Watch for myself. I give myself gifts for Christmas.
Yes.
And I did. And it has been a game changer. Just it's very motivating to see, you know, where I'm at with my heart rate. It's very motivating to see where my pace is at. And it's not fast. I am a true, like, poster child for turtles that are running.
Uh-huh.
And I'm okay with that. It's not about the pace. And when you coached me on that, like, slow your pace down and that it's okay to do that. Like, you permissioned me to just slow down and be able to speak while I'm running and things like that. I think that is the busting through of perfectionism, right? The metaphor of running is that you don't have to be perfect, and you can admire those that are, I admire people I see on the running trail that have this long, beautiful gait. They look like gazelles running through, you know, the park that I live by. And I admire that. I will never be that. And I'm okay with that. And how can we move forward imperfectly? And I think that is the metaphor of this. And so it's clear running is a passion for you. And this marathon in Alaska was a turning point. But what have you done, Scott? And I want everybody to hear, like, when you're talking about a passion and following that passion, this is truly yours. So what have you done since Alaska?
Yeah. So when I crossed that finish line in Anchorage, Alaska, my first marathon, I decided then and there that I was going to do a marathon in all 50 states. Now, that sounds like a big goal, and it sounds like I'm extra crazy. But hear me out, because really, it was about the trip, right? Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
I love traveling. I love going on vacation. And this vacation really felt earned. It felt super, super special. And I wanted more of that. It's really motivating because running is hard, right? Running is really hard. And it doesn't matter how many marathons and how many races you've done, it doesn't really get easier. You always have to invest some effort. And for me, I needed it to be worth it. And for me, a trip is what makes it worth it. So since Anchorage, I have done, well, including Anchorage, I have done 12 marathons. Now, at the pace that I'm going, I'm not like I did Anchorage, and then the next month I did another one, and then the next month. I run a marathon about once a year. It's a little bit more than that because I've done 12 and I started in 2005. So maybe every year, year and a half. And it's just a way to continue to prove to myself that I can do hard things. I can do impossible things. It's a way to remind myself that the way to do hard things is one step at a time. And to design it so that it is worth it to you. Like, why do you want to do this? I absolutely love going on a trip. And so for me, it's like that anticipation. You mentioned the 12-minute turtles are going to go to Missoula, Montana at the end of June this year. And just thinking about going to Montana makes me really excited. And thinking about spending all of that quality time, which happens to be my love language, all that quality time with amazing women that also have decided that they are capable of hard things and that they are going to try to do something really hard. Like, I love that. So yes, I've done 12 marathons since starting in Anchorage, Alaska, and which means I have 38 more to go. At the pace I'm going to be in my 90s. To finish up this goal. And I'm totally okay with that. Like, I don't feel like the need at all to rush it. It's just, if I do another marathon, I really want it to be in a state that I have not run in yet, that I get to experience in this unique racecation kind of way.
I love that. And it is true. Like, I'm definitely looking forward to actually achieving the goal of completing the half marathon. It doesn't matter how fast I go in Montana, but I'm really looking forward to the sisterhood and connections and, you know, the trip itself, just being, I've never been to Montana, seeing something new. And so when you put a goal out there and you wrap it up in all of these like other things you really love in life, I think that's the point of this, is that it's not just going and running the half marathon or the marathon. It's all of the things that you wrap around it through working with the 12-minute turtles. And that's beautiful.
Yes. Yes. The community you mentioned, the sisterhood, the community, that is really what it's all about. There's an African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I really, really love that. That's what we're doing. And it's such a place that everyone really, truly supports and encourages everybody else. And when we're in Montana, so the marathons are always on a weekend. They're usually on Sundays. And we have a saying that turtles go home Tuesday. Because if you're going to work that hard, you should definitely take some time to celebrate if you can, right? So of the 12 marathons that I did, one was in Wisconsin, in Green Bay, and I made a very big mistake. I ran the marathon on Sunday, and I went home on Sunday night, and I went back to work on Monday. It was Wow. The marathon, although the marathon itself was great, and it was wonderful, and we stayed right at a hotel leading up to the marathon, but it felt super anticlimactic. Super. And I learned a very valuable lesson about celebrating our accomplishments. And I really think that that's another thing that is not true just for running, right? We need
that's
to
true,
celebrate.
Yeah. Women do not celebrate. Yep.
No, we need to learn to celebrate our accomplishments and celebrate the things that we do and celebrate the effort that we put in. So 12-Minute Turtles, it's wrapped up in celebration. We always say turtles go home Tuesday, and I'm not going to be mad if you go home on Wednesday or Thursday. You want to extend your celebration? Please, by all means, do it. Because you know what? When it comes to the next race, all of those memories that you have, that whole experience that you created for yourself, that is going to be the fuel that gets you out the door for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So make it something that's memorable. Make it worth it.
Absolutely.
And celebrate for sure.
Yeah, we are such like nose to the grindstone, people, and we don't celebrate enough. And a lot of times we don't look at our to-done list. We're always looking at our to-do list. So taking that time after, like if the race is on this one particular is on Sunday, and taking that time Monday to really experience friendship, experience how our bodies feel in celebration, sit with the celebration. It's just so powerful versus like jumping back on an airplane, going home and jumping right back into your life instead of really soaking in the celebration. And I think that is part of the metaphor too of, how do we celebrate our big wins and little wins as we move through life and focus on what we just accomplished versus what's the next thing now, right?
Yes. It's really, sometimes we get so excited about our accomplishments that we just jump to that next thing. And so allowing ourselves to pause and celebrate is really important. And there's something else that came up for me while you were talking, and it's about the crossing that finish line. And as a 12-minute turtle, I think it's really important for everyone to hear this. Finish lines are not guaranteed. It doesn't matter if you had a perfect training, like if you implemented, you worked a plan, you got all of your training in 100%. Finishes are not guaranteed. And so, yes, we celebrate finishes. But even more importantly, we celebrate that you had the courage to start. Because sometimes, like for whatever reason, you might be having a bad race. Maybe you have a stomach ache. Maybe the travel is getting to you. Any number of things could possibly go wrong. And I just want to prepare people, not that I'm preparing them to fail, but reminding them that the finish is not guaranteed, and it's also not the important part. The important part is that you had the courage to start, that you show up over and over and over. And I think that's a really important thing, especially for women that tend to struggle with perfectionism.
Absolutely, yeah. And it reminds me of an activity I used to do. I used to do kind of an organized event with youth, and I would have them do a sticky note activity, And mm-hmm. what they would do is they would each get a sticky note and they would go anywhere in the room. And I would just say, reach as high as you can and put that sticky note up. And then they would come back and kind of see where everybody had the sticky notes. And I said, now try to reach one bit more. And what they would do is they'd go back and they'd get a little bit more creative and maybe stand on each other's shoulders or like take a chair. I didn't have any rules, but before the first time they were following all these like self-perceived rules of what was allowed. And when I just said go higher, and they would ask me questions like, well, can I do this? Can I do that? Yep. There are no rules. I didn't have a rule here. You created your own ceiling and limitations. And mm-hmm. maybe they didn't get it as high as other people, but the next one was always higher. And I think that when you strive towards a goal or strive towards, I always call it an intention mostly. Mm-hmm. And the goal is maybe the bullseye, but the intention is the whole board. You
yeah.
get close to the bullseye, you know,
yeah.
you get close to what you, but if you don't put anything out there, you're not going to get anything.
Yeah. And when things are not guaranteed, that's why mm-hmm. we are so proud of those accomplishments, right? It is not a given that you cross that finish line and you get that medal. That's why people
yeah.
are so nervous on race day, right? That's why they're, that night there's a lot of like nervous jitters and anticipation, like, will I finish? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you lean on your training and you show up. That's all yeah. you can do. And then if something happens, you take that and you learn from it and you show up again.
Right. And I have to say, if I go all the way to Montana and I get to that race and I don't finish, I will be super bummed.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to lie about that. I'm going to be super bummed. But what it's already given back to my life to bring running back in, because I have been a runner most of my life. And then mm-hmm. I slip and I don't keep focused. I don't keep doing it. Or I get discouraged because I don't have a coach. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody like mm-hmm. supporting it when it gets hard, right? Like I am now.
Yeah.
But what it's given me already is just health, like my health again and getting my endurance up again. And at 51, to say I'm going to run anything at this point, I'm just proud of myself for doing that. And so even if I'm super bummed and I get out there, I learn a lot from my painful mishaps, my mistakes, the things that
yes.
don't quite go as planned. So I'm
yes.
good with that. I will
embrace will have a community,
that lesson.
You will have a community that wraps around you and supports you.
Mm-hmm.
And like what I always say, like if you have people have bad races and maybe you finish, but it takes you like way longer than you ever expected it to take you. People can have tight IT bands and they're limping, whatever it may be, that is an unanticipated thing. This does not usually happen, but I like to prepare
mm-hmm.
people for it. Well, what are you going to do about that? I always say if something happens and you are not able to finish, then we plan a redemption race, right? And how exciting is that, right? And then we're going to be singing to each other, some call it a comeback, right? It's awesome. Because
yeah,
sometimes
it's all about the community
like,
and the support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know you do other things, and I'm super excited because we're dropping in together later on again today. But you'll get to see us on TV on my Authentic AF program. And so we'll dive in even deeper to some of these, themes around authenticity and just even some personal stories that either of us are willing to share with other people.
Yeah.
I think women do learn through stories from each other. But what you do help clients, you do the 12-minute turtles and this is amazing and great. And you also run Raining Glitter Coaching. What are some of the difficulties that you find clients coming in facing? And I think other, you know, anybody listening to this can find a piece of less isolation and loneliness in the issues that they're dealing with by hearing that there's other women out there dealing with the same thing. So what are some of the difficulties that clients come to you with?
Yeah. So we talked about perfectionism is one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionism gets harder and harder and harder on us because guess what? We, by design, are not perfect. Nobody is. And so by having that unrealistic expectation, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And that's the opposite of what we want to be doing. We really, truly want to be setting ourselves up for success. And so that's a really big thing. And it's really exciting when you can see women begin to set themselves up for success and what that looks like. The other things that people come to me with are just this heavy external pressure that they're feeling. And then also sometimes heavy internal pressure. And those are the things that we bring to the surface and work through so that they can have more ease, they can have more joy, and they can be living more authentically and more in alignment with what they really, truly care about. What are their top values? And once you're living in alignment with that, it's like my clients say to me, like, oh, my gosh, it's so simple. Oh my God, right? It's like we tend to overcomplicate it. And it's like, what if it really is this easy?
Mm. Yeah, I love that. So I'm taking notes. We by design are not perfect. I always use the phrase of to expect humans to be anything different than humans is like a course in craziness, you know? And so, yeah, we're not perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
We're
and,
really
and
not.
Then,
and when we can embrace that, that's so powerful.
Yeah. And then we know that there's society external pressures, but what you hit on was that there's internal pressures too that limit our joy, that we are creating the barriers or the blocks inside of ourselves by our own expectations of what life should look like or could look like and how we need to not make a mistake. And that's actually the limit to our own joy that we put on ourselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned a word that for me is a huge red flag, and it's the word should.
Yeah.
That is a huge red flag, because if I hear you say, oh, I want to go run today, or I'm going to go run today, great. But if I hear you say, I should go run, that is a red flag, because it means like, you don't want to, you don't like what's going on there. And it's just worth diving into you, to when you said should. So not, and I don't mean you in particular, but when women say we should do something, like who says, like, do you actually want to?
Right.
Or is it somebody else that's expecting you to? Let's get really clear here what these expectations are. And when we get really clear and we focus on that, then something powerful happens. We have a choice.
Hmm. I love that. Yeah. Should is definitely a red flag. And a lot of times when I'm coaching with a woman too, and they're using a lot of shoulds, I say things like, what do you get to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel fortunate, you know, at 51, I feel like I'm in fairly decent, okay shape. Right. And so the fact that I get to go out and use my lungs and use my legs and use my body, for me, it's really an embodiment. I haven't felt for years that exercise of any kind is drudgery. I actually see it very much as a gift, like my body is still working for me. Awesome. Good. And also it's a huge part of my embodiment practice. Meaning, how do I, as a psychotherapist, I'm in my head all the time or in other people's heads all the time. And how do we get more into our bodies? How do we get the truth and the natural, speak that our body gives to us? You said to me before we got on live, I'm having kind of a minor calf issue after running wonky the other day. And you said, I love how you listen to your body. And so I do think that running or any movement of our body does get us more in tune with our bodies, and our bodies know way more than what we give them credit for.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. I love that you said that it doesn't feel like drudgery, like, and that it hasn't. And when it does feel like drudgery, that's another thing that's worth exploring. Sometimes there are women that have so much on their plates that they are burning the candle at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of getting out and running feels like one more thing to do, right? And if that's the case, like that isn't about running. It's about your mindset about running. But there are also some limiting factors in your life. And sometimes we have to say, in this season, I'm going to give myself permission to take this off my plate, right? But that doesn't mean that everything with your health gets to go off of your plate. It just might mean, what can I do that doesn't feel like drudgery?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What can I do? Maybe I just do a tiny bit instead of, like, maybe I do one push-up. One push-up.
Right.
I was having a glass of wine with a friend for her birthday, and we were laughing because, yes, I was a runner, but I never did anything when it came to strength training at the time. And she's like, let's do a push-up challenge. And I could barely do one push-up. And we consistently did one push-up a day. And guess what? That led to two push-ups a day. And then that led to three push-ups a day. And so when you do small things, but you do them consistently, they have big returns on that effort, right? So it's not so much about like going out and doing some big, big event. It's maybe in the season you do something small, but you do it consistently. And learning what's right for you.
Listening to our bodies. Yeah. And there are times where I've had a particularly more intense adrenaline-based week, and running is not going to be good for my body. And so being able to be mindful and say, this is actually, I need more rest. I need more downtime, less adrenaline-oriented activities, and more like maybe mindfulness-based activities. So being able to listen to that is super important. But I do think it is the mindset shift around exercise and moving our bodies and finding something that feels good in our bodies. And Emily Nagoski and her sister Amelia Nagoski cover this in the Burnout book. I don't know if you've read it, but it talks about the stress cycle, and that the stress cycle, we can take the stressor away, the day of work away from us. But if we don't move our bodies and complete that stress cycle and move our bodies to kind of complete that and shake it out, you know, the stress isn't gone. It's still there. It still lies in our bodies. And so being able to see any kind of body movement as this practice of release is super important. And it can shift your mind, and you start looking at things differently. So I love this.
Yeah. I have actually, there's a tool that I'd love to share when it comes to listening to your body. And it's a very, very simple tool. And it is, before you do any kind of exercise, let's talk about running. Let's say you're going to run 1 mile. Before you do the exercise, check in with yourself. How do I feel? I feel tired. I don't want to do this. Like, I'm going to force myself to go because I committed to it, because the 12-minute turtles are holding me accountable, right? Then I want you to check in with yourself during the run. How do you feel? Oh, this isn't as bad as I thought, right? Like, now that I'm out here, I'm actually happy to be outside. I'm getting some fresh air. Excuse me. But it's still hard, right? And then last check in, how do you feel at the end? Oh my gosh, I feel like $1 million. I feel so proud of myself because I got out there. I feel like my body actually feels really good because I was out there sweating a little bit and moving, right? So check in with yourself those three times. And I give that as an example because that's generally for me what I feel. Like, I usually dread it before I go. As I'm doing it, I'm thinking, this isn't as bad as I had in my, like, why do I always dread this? It's not that bad. And then when I finish, It's like a high that I get to ride the rest of the day, the whole rest of the day. And so when you look at the payoff and like how long each of those things lasts, it's just a good reminder to yourself, oh yeah, the dread, oh yeah, I always feel like this. This is actually normal, right? And then when you're running, how do you feel? Yeah.
Yeah, and so often we're just in autopilot. We're not checking in with our bodies. So I love that, that there's the before, the during, and the after kind of check-in of how do I feel. Same question, different answer each time, I'm sure. There's very seldom a time where, and hopefully listeners can relate, there's very seldom a time where I've moved my body in any kind of way and afterwards said, well, that sucked. You know, usually after we've moved our body in some way, there's a celebration because our body is like happy, like, hey, I'm here. You notice me and thank you so much for like, you know, bringing me up again.
For
so
sure.
I love this. How do people get in touch with you? If you could let us know that, I think that would be really important because I'm sure people that have been listening, especially women who want this as a goal for themselves, want a little bit more information now.
Absolutely. So if they are interested in life coaching, they can find me at reigningglittercoaching.com. Reigning, like the weather, glitter, like the sparkly stuff, coaching.com. And if they are interested in more information about the 12-Minute Turtles and becoming part of the Back of the Pack family, they can get more information at the number one, the number two, MinuteTurtles.com. So 12MinuteTurtles.com. And then they can also find me on social media. I'm on Facebook with Reigning Glitter Coaching. I'm on Instagram at 12MinuteTurtles and LinkedIn at Lisa Robb.
Beautiful. Cool. Thank you so much. I got so much out of this just from, you know, talking about how running can teach us about life, talking about what it means to just start a race versus focusing on the goal of like finishing or, you know, having your best time to the tool of the three questions that you ask yourself before, during, or after anything, actually that's hard. And so I hope other listeners got something beautiful out of this as much as I did. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us today. I was so in gratitude when you said yes to this and it's been great reconnecting with you again and coaching with you. I've learned a ton about my body and my running. So thank you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. It was such a pleasure to be here with you. And when you surround yourself by other amazing women, I really think that's where the magic happens. And so I'm so happy to be connected with you. And the more time we spend together, the better, my friend. So thank you so much for today.
I agree. Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us today. I hope that you got something super valuable for you to reignite to your passion and your purpose. And I know I did. It's always great dropping in with a friend. And I think that is a key point here is, when we are establishing friendships, we need to sometimes reach out and initiate and take, you know, take that first step towards somebody again. So hopefully you got something here because I just reaching out again to Lisa after not, you know, being kind of separated from one another with all the things going on in the world right now and reaching out, look at what I've brought back into my life. And we are the average of the five people we surround ourselves with. And I am so grateful to be surrounding myself with such passionate, ignited women in my life. And I hope this inspires you to do the same. And you can find me at www.hotpinkyou.com. So many more programs to come. And like I mentioned earlier, we will be bringing Lisa back on again with our YouTube channel. And so you'll be able to see us, see me and see her. And so join us there. It's Hot Pink University YouTube channel. And we're starting a new series, Authentic AF Living for Women. So I'm going to be bringing on lots of guests throughout the next year and beyond. And I'd love to have you there. We have great offerings. If you look at either of our websites, the Reigning Glitter Coaching or Hot Pink University, we always have great offerings. Sign up for our newsletters, either both of us, one of us, you know, sign up for our newsletters. There's always things in there to help you dream big, live your life with passion,
and always live embodied and ignited. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week on a whole new episode of Life Class with Christy Bemis.